You know, another thing I like to do for people sometimes is when I feel bad, like if my pancreatitis flares up or my arthritis flares up or something's going on with my body and I just feel most miserable, you know what I found is a good cure for stuff like that? Call somebody up that's more sick than you and just minister to them. That's just the truth. When I get to feeling bad, I know this woman, man, she is eat up with arthritis, every part of her body, and she's got this, I forget what they call it, with her muscles as well, and her muscles are eat up with something, and she's her own worst enemy. She won't get out of bed. She stays up half the night. She's just miserable all the time, and so when I get to feeling bad, I call her up and say, how you doing? And then I said, well, this is your year. You could get in shape. You could change your life. This could be your year. And just try to minister to people like that. Or some, I know enough preachers that are usually discouraged because their flocks are twice dead plucked up. I can call up a preacher like that and try to minister to him. And, you know, you ought to just minister to people. Amen. And so last night, as I'm like sitting in a chair with my bald head throbbing, I'm thinking to myself, well, how can I be a blessing, Lord? And a preacher called me about 10 at night, stayed on the phone with him till about 11, and just tried to help him, a guy in PA, and just, you know, try to be a blessing. You know, you never know what you got till it's gone. You know what you appreciate after you soak 3 towels in blood? That don't go on every day. Right? There is always good about something. You know what we're so good at? And I'm telling you, it's just how it is, especially amongst us Bible believers. We're good at picking out the negative. But there is positive things in everything. I told this old grump the other day on the street corner. I said, you know what? It's just, I mean, kooky is cuckoo for cocoa puffs. And I said, you know, 7 billion people on planet Earth, 7 billion on planet Earth, 7 billion different people on planet Earth, not one of us is alike. Of 7 billion people on planet Earth, not one person of them, 7 billion, is alike. Different handprints, different feet prints, different lip prints. Amen. God put 3 prints on the body to prove that that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I said, we're all different. And I said, me, out here on a street corner, and you come by. 7 billion people on planet Earth. There's only one of me and one of you. And God crossed our path. I said, why do you think that is? Wasn't it just a blessing to know the book? Know what God expects from you? You know what he expects from you? Ministering to somebody. Say, how often? Every day. That'd be good. Amen. All right. Well, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at something that I thought you might find interesting today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, something I've been talking about since 2005 when God showed it to me. And, every year I get more information on this. Every time I read through the Bible, I get more information on this. So I keep putting together more messages on this subject because it's one of those inexhaustible subjects that people don't think about. But in 2 Corinthians, now, I like to see Paul in a lot of things just because he's one of them few people in the Word of God that started and was saved and finished his course, amen, and didn't end up quitting or falling or being part of the falling away. He was one of them rare birds, amen, that hung in there and did something for God and lasted. And so you ought to be able to look at a guy like that and say, man, why did he last? Why is it that in... Now listen, if you think we got it bad in the midst of the plandemic and you think we got it bad in the midst of, you know, the Marxist rioting and all this, that, and the other, you think we got it bad, why don't you just try Paul's life? You know who was ruling when he was around, don't you? Nero.
Yep, that's right.
You read anything about that strange bird? He was something. I mean, he took Christians while they were alive, tarred them, put them up on lampposts, lit them up, and lit the stadium up with Christians screaming alive on fire while they set the lions loose on mamas and daddies and their children just because they were saved and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And filled the Colosseum with a bunch of screaming heathen that rage and imagine a vain thing just to watch it while other Christians were lit up to light the event. You think we got it bad? Now, how is it that a fellow like that goes on? How is it that a fellow like that gets saved and in the midst of everything going on in his day finishes his course with joy? How something like that happened? Well, I believe here's part of the reason. There's lots of reasons. We might get to a couple more of them tomorrow. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 17. The Word of God says, now this is interesting how he says this. He says, for our light affliction. You ever read what he went through? He says, which is but for a moment. Well, that's true. The Bible says man's days are like, it's just few, 3 days. Which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here it is in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, there it is, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's true. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, God, it's good to be saved. It's good to be in the house of God, even on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you, God, for this hot, weary, blazing day that we can come in to a church house that's air-conditioned and sit and open your book, God, to get some help today from the Word of God. I pray, God, for these that have come, that they'd bow their head and their heart again and ask you, God, to do for them what I cannot, and that is change them. Might they leave this place different, encouraged, God, I pray. And God, might you do a work in our midst, have the preeminence in all things, get glory in your church and change us. God, I pray you'll talk to us, we'll talk to you, and leave this place different. We'll thank you for it ahead of time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about something that's all throughout the Word of God. It shows up in the beginning of that book, in the book of Genesis, runs right up through the book of Revelation, and it's something that'll help you in these last days to just stand for God. I mean, that is the problem. There is a reason that God says over there over and over, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You say, what's that mean? Boy, when this thing wraps up, it's just going to be a miracle if anybody's even standing. Amen. Now, that's just how it is. And so we're going to talk a little bit about simply what I've entitled, here it is, Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the invisible. You know what there is? There's an invisible realm. And you know what most people look at? They look at the temporal. You know, there's something more real in here right now going on in this church this second, something more real than the pews you're sitting on. There's something more real than the clothes on your back. There's something more real than this building, amen. You say, what is it? It is an invisible realm. And I'm going to tell you something. That invisible realm is more real than this junk. You say, how do you know? Well, this thing's temporal. This thing's going to burn. This thing's going to go away. But guess what? That invisible realm, that invisible world, it's going to be here forever, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I'm a part of it.
Amen.
Because the Bible says I've got an inner man, a spiritual man, a man after God. And all this corpse is going to do is it's going to drop and I'm going to rise to seize the everlasting prize.
Amen.
Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm just talking about seeing the invisible. It's kind of like this. You know, David over there, he says this, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know what he knew? He knew with his physical eye, he was not going to be able to get anything from a spiritual book. You've got spiritual eyes. You've got a body. You've got a soul. You've got a spirit. Man, if all three of those have a set of eyes, how many eyes you think you got? You ever think of stuff like that? Of course you don't. But it's true, amen. You've got a body. You've got a soul. You've got a spirit. And you know what David said? Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. He's not sitting there like this. God, open my eyes. I can't open my eyes. No. He's talking about the spiritual eyes. Amen. All throughout the Word of God, you see a spiritual realm. Now, invisible simply means this. That which cannot be seen. That's deep, ain't it? Imperceptible by sight. You know, in Revelation 3:17, he said they had an eye problem. That's why they needed eye salve, to anoint their eyes with eye salve. You say, why? They couldn't see spiritual things. They said, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And you know what they couldn't see? That spiritually, they were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Amen. Spiritually. You say, what was their problem? They couldn't see spiritual things. Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What kind of vision you think he's talking about? Invisible. Isn't that interesting, wild stuff? You know, the Bible says over there, and by the way, that's in Psalm 119, 18, in Numbers 22, 23, 25, 27, 31, and 33, you get all that? You know what there is? The Bible says there's a dumbass that spake. And you know what that dumbass did? That dumbass, he beheld the angel of the Lord standing with his sword drawn. And there's a seer, there's a prophet riding on that ass. And you know what that man of God could not see? He couldn't see the invisible. But you know what that dumb ass saw? According to 2 Peter in chapter 2, that's what it calls it, the dumb ass. You know what that dumb ass saw? He saw the invisible. Isn't that wild? By the way, it was normal for that prophet or that seer to see invisible things. It's just that the Bible says the dumbass spake for batting the madness of the prophet. He was mad, man. He couldn't see spiritual things. All he could see was the shekel. All he could see was the reward, the money for divination that he was going to receive. And so when he gets his eyeballs off of the Lord and on something else, he couldn't see invisible things. And that's where Christianity is today. Amen. It's pretty bad when an animal can see better than a human. Amen. I'll give you another one. Over there in 2 Kings in chapter 6 and in verse 17, Elisha's in the house, and there's this young man in there ministering to him, and man, their house is surrounded by the enemy, and you know what he says? Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when the Lord opened that young man's eyes, guess what? There was chariots of fire all around that man of God's house. You say, what happened? Well, he got to see the invisible. The Bible says in the book of Job, now there was a day when the sons of God went up and presented themselves unto the Lord. Amen. And Satan went also up among them. You say, what was that? That was invisible things. Well, that's wild stuff, ain't it? I like that stuff. Over there in 2 Chronicles in chapter, look in 2 Chronicles in chapter 14. I'm just talking about seeing the invisible. 2 Chronicles in chapter 14, and the Word of God says this. 2 Chronicles in chapter 14 and verse 12, the Word of God says it this way. I like how he puts these things. Now, you think about this. Here's the Lord, and he has a sense of humor, and so he does things differently. In 2 Samuel in chapter 5, look at it. 2 Samuel in chapter 5, is that what I said? What did I say? Well, look at 2 Samuel, chapter 5 and in verse 24. Now, we're talking about seeing the invisible. You say, why? Because all throughout the Word of God, there is invisible things. And in 2 Samuel, in chapter 5 and in verse 24, the Word of God, notice here, in verse 24, it says, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound, David has asked the Lord if he should go out against this host. And the Lord says this, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then, now look at it, shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. You say, what's that talking about? Well, listen now, David is getting ready to go against these Philistines. And you know what he says? He says here, David says, should I go out? Should I fight against them? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hands? And he says, here's what you do. You wait until you hear something going out in the top of them trees. And he says, then you'll know that I went out before you to smite the Philistines. You know what there was? There was an invisible army that went before David's army and slew them Philistines. In that Old Testament, every time Israel was right, you know what happened? God sent his angel of the Lord, just like back there when Joshua said, the angel of the Lord standing there, he says, art thou for us or against us? He says, nay. He says, I'm not for you, I'm not for them, but as captain of the Lord's host am I come. You say, why? Joshua's getting ready to go into that promised land. Now listen, as long as God's people did right, God went out before him and whipped them nations, amen. With what? With an invisible army. Wasn't that good stuff? I'm just talking about seeing the invisible. See, we're so messed up sometimes, all we see is the things around us that are seen. And they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That means they go into eternity. That means they're everlasting. That means they last forever. Amen. And so he says, we're going to go out before you, and we're going to smite these Philistines. That place I'm talking about, look in Joshua chapter 5, since we're close. Joshua in chapter 5. Oh, the Word of God is good. You say, what's it filled with? Invisible things. Joshua in chapter 5 over here. He's getting ready to go into this promised land. Moses, his servant, is dead. Joshua steps up the plate. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. By the way, Joshua could see him. That's the same man that was standing with a sword in his hand when that man on the dumb ass couldn't see him. Now look at it. He could see the invisible. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. That's an Old Testament appearing of Jesus Christ. And did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. Invisible things, invisible armies, amen. Oh, that's good stuff. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about seeing the invisible. So we're going to look real quickly here till you're done on some things that are invisible that we ought to be looking at. Amen. And if you and I could see the invisible, we'd make it in this thing. You know, the crowd that makes it and lasts and goes through some stuff and still stands and still goes to church and still prays and still reads and still witnesses and still passes out tracts and still tries to do something for God. You know who that crowd is? The crowd that gets their eyeballs off this world and sees the invisible. Amen. And so there's some things we're going to look at. Look at Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. And by the way, I'll say this. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. So what you look at is what you think about. You understand that? If all you do is watch the news, I pity you. But if that's all you ever do is watch that mess, you know what? That's all you're going to think about. If all you ever do is watch Facebook, that's all you're going to think about. If all you do is watch what's going on in this world, that is all you're going to think about. Amen. But if you would put your eyes on invisible things, then that's what you might think about. Amen. Hebrews in chapter 12. Look over there in Hebrews in chapter 12. Familiar passage in Hebrews in chapter 12. Now we're talking about seeing the invisible. You know what God wants you to look at? The same thing Paul looked at. Same thing David looked at. You say, what was that? Invisible things. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, right? Look at Hebrews in chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What cloud of witnesses? Hebrews chapter 11. The Word of God says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look in Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. The Word of God says it this way, but we see Jesus. Amen. Do we see him? You say, what are you talking about? Seeing the invisible Christ. You know what would change your life if you'd see the invisible Christ? You know what, Dave? You know, over there in the book of Acts in chapter 9 and verse 7, you know what Paul did? He seen a light above the brightness of the sun, and while everybody else couldn't see a thing, you know what Paul saw? He saw Jesus. Amen. You know what you need to see? You need to see in the invisible Christ. You know, if you and I could get our eyes off of the things of this life and get our eyes on the invisible Christ, it would change the way we live. You understand that? You understand that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. You say, what's that mean? God's looking at you all the time. You know, he looks at us all the time. The problem is, we don't look at him all the time.
Yes, right.
Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about seeing the invisible Christ. You know what, Stephen? He's getting rocked to sleep. Amen. About there. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he looked up there into heaven and he says, I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of the Father. You say, what did he see? He saw the invisible Christ.
Yep,
you know what God's people can't see? Christ.
Amen.
You say, why? He's invisible. You know what I love? I'm in love with a man I've never seen.
Yes, amen.
You ever think about that?
Yep.
I mean, I love somebody that's done everything for me, and I've never seen him.
Yep.
I'm just talking about seeing the invisible Christ. Oh, give us some people that can see the invisible. Amen. The invisible what? The invisible Christ. Listen, if you and I could see the invisible, let's just face it. If you and I thought to ourselves, you know what? I'm going home tonight, and Jesus Christ is in my house. You can't see him, but guess what? He's in your house. I go farther than that. He's in you, this house. And you know what? If you thought about that and you could see the invisible Christ, you wouldn't talk about some people like you do. You'd shut your mouth a lot more than you do, right? But you know what the problem is? You don't think he's there. You see everything and everybody but that invisible Christ. Listen, if you saw the invisible Christ, because he's there, you just don't see him. But if you saw that invisible Christ, it changed what came out of your mouth. It would change the things you do with your members. It would change what goes on through your mind. It would change everything about you. You say, what could make such a change? If you'd see the invisible Christ. See, whether you see him or not, he's there. Isn't that a wild thing? And God's people just go on doing their own thing, amen, and living like they shouldn't live. You know, the Bible says, Peter over there in Luke 22, 60 through 62, the Bible says he's cussing, he's carrying on, he's denying the Lord. And man, when that rooster set off, what happened? The Bible says, and it says over there in Luke in chapter 22, I can just see this. He's out there, he's warming his hands by the heathen's fire, amen. And that rooster sounded off, and you know what the Bible says? And the Lord looked upon Peter. You know, he wasn't having a problem till he saw Christ. You know, it was no big deal for him to say, I don't know him, three times. It was no big deal for him to start cussing and carrying on until the Lord looked over at him. Then the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly and repented. You say, why? Because he knew Christ was there looking. And you'd live different if you realize Christ is everywhere you're at. You know, when I got in my car this morning and drove over here, Christ was in my car. When I go back up them stairs, he's there too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When I go home tomorrow, he's there.
Amen.
Amen. You say, what would that do? That'd make you live different.
Right.
If you'd see the invisible Christ. Amen. Oh, David, he had it going on. Paul, he had it going on. Elisha, Elijah, they had it going on. You say, why? Because they saw the invisible. And then there's us. You know what I like? I like to find people who ain't got a leg, ain't got an arm, ain't got something. You know what I do? I go up to them and I say, hey, tell me, you ever, you know, I had this fella and he didn't have no arm. And I had this other guy, he blew his hand off with dynamite, just blew the fingers right off. Didn't get away quick enough. Just a real smart bird, you know. Hold on that thing too long and boom, there went his fingers flying. And you know, I said, do your fingers ever itch? He said, they itch all the time. I said, they do. I said, what do you do? He says, well, I itch them. I said, but you ain't got no fingers. He says, but I still feel like I got a scratch. You say why that is? Why is that? Because there's invisible fingers there he can't
yep,
see.
Right.
Well, if we just think.
Yep.
Huh? You've got a soul, amen.
Amen.
And it's invisible and you can't see it. Nobody's looked at it, but it's there, amen. Amen. And you know what you need to see? You need to see the invisible Christ that saved you. You say, what would it do? Change everything about the way you live. How about this one? Now, some of these things are pretty obvious, and some of these things ain't so obvious and make you think a little bit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Now, I'm talking about seeing the invisible. There's just some things that it's obvious that they're invisible. Christ is invisible. He's invisible, but you ought to see him. And then this thing. Boy, this is something. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 26. He says this. Paul says, for ye, talking about whoever's reading it, see, what do you see? You're calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And then he goes down, God chosen the foolish things of the world. What does he say? He says, for you see your calling. You know, I'll say this. The Bible says over here, for ye see your calling, brethren. Now, I understand this is one of the things you've got to think about for a second. But think about this. How many people do absolutely nothing for Jesus Christ? You say, why is that? Because that calling's invisible to them. They can't see it. But you've got one. You know what every one of us in here have? A calling. You know what God's got for every one of us? Something to do. You know what he's told every one of us? What to do. But you know what it is? It's invisible to us. For ye see your calling, brethren. Why would he say that? Because they couldn't see it. And so you know what I do? I go into churches and I say, hey, guess what? You are supposed to be doing something for God. Every single day, every one of us, we have a high calling to God. We've got something God wants us to do. And you know what we're supposed to do? Do it. How am I going to do it? You got to see it. You got to see your calling, brethren. You know when all this mess starts rocking and rolling and going back and forth around here, you know what people said to me? They said, hey, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what Isaiah did. You know what Isaiah, you know what God did? God called Isaiah and said, here's what I want you to do. And you know what? One time he said this to God. God, nobody was listening to him. Everything was going bad. I mean, nobody wanted God. Isaiah's out there preaching. And he said, Lord, how long? In other words, how long am I supposed to be doing this thing that you told me to do? And you know what he told him? He says, till the cities be laid waste and are without inhabitant. Wow. Did you get that? You know what he told him? He said, hey, you just keep preaching until there's nothing or nobody left. You see, you're calling, brethren. You know what God's done? He's called you to do something for him, and you better figure out what it is. You say, why? Because this is deep. You ain't getting no younger. I know you think you are, but you're not. Amen. You know how dumb we are? We're just deceived. You know what people think? You think that, I think some of you probably think like I thought. I think some of you think that when you look in the mirror that you really see like that teenager that was there. It's been gone. I'm here to help you. That teenager is not in the mirror. Amen. They're gone. You say, what's replaced that teenager? Somebody older. The truth is the truth. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, when it comes to this thing of your calling, you better get it. You better get to it. I can't even imagine going through this life as a Christian knowing that God's got a calling for you and never have done it. People ask me all the time, oh, what are you doing? Well, hey, there's people going to hell all over the place no matter where I'm at. All I'm called to do is preach to them. And the Word of God says that over and over and over. In 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God puts it this way. 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, I'm talking about seeing the invisible. I'm just going to give you a couple verses for each one of these. 2 Timothy in chapter 1, although I could give you 10 or 12. 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God says this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, now look at it, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know what he's done before you were even born? He called you to do something. He's got a purpose for you. You know what he wants? He wants you to do something for him. And you better figure out what it is. I'm talking about seeing the invisible Christ, but then seeing the invisible calling. Takes invisible eyes to see that. Look at Hebrews again. Hebrews in chapter 11. The Word of God says this. Hebrews 11 and verse 10, the Word of God puts it this way. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what he's talking about? The Bible says over there, you can look it up in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, 13, 14, Colossians 3, 2. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about an invisible city. You know what heaven is? It's invisible. You know what? Guess what? Listen, if you're saved, the Bible says right now you are seated in heavenly places. Right now you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right now you have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. Right now, you are a part of a city. You are an ambassador for Christ. You say, what's that mean? That means you're from some place that ain't here. And all you are down here in this hellhole, this stinking, sin-sick sewer of a world that's sinking in its own stinking slop, all you're doing here is representing an invisible city that you're really from. Wow. Amen. Now, I know some things about that city because I read my Bible. I know this. Everybody in that city is happy. Amen. You say, why? They ain't got this.
Yeah, that's right.
If you'd ever get rid of this, you'd be happy too. Amen. Everybody up there is happy. I'll tell you something else about that city that I know. That light from that city, when it's opened up, is a light that is above the brightness of a sun. Because Paul on the road to Damascus got a glimpse of that light and it knocked his eyeball out.
Yep, right.
You say, what's that mean? Everybody up there is lit up like a firefly. You know, I can't remember the last time I preached to a church full of people that was lit up like fireflies and they say they're from that city. I can't remember the last time I preached in a church where the people that are supposed to be from an invisible city, where everybody will be happy over there, and they ain't happy. I'm just saying, when it comes to seeing the invisible, you see the invisible Christ, you see the invisible calling, but then you see the invisible city. And what a city. You don't live down here. Why are you putting all your lock, stock, and barrel down in a place that you don't live? Well, look in Romans 7, Romans in chapter 7, I'll give you another one. We're talking about seeing the invisible. Some of these things are apparent, some of these things aren't. Some of these things are, you ought to be able to see and you can't see. Here's one of them. In Romans in chapter 7 over here, and the Bible says in verse 23. Oh, Romans in chapter 7 and in verse 23. But I see, what do you see? Another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You say, what are you talking about? The same thing he talked about in Romans 6, 11 through 13, Galatians 5, 16 through 17. He said it this way in Matthew 26, 41, the spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, listen, here it is. Here it is. There's the invisible. Seeing the invisible. The invisible what? Contrast. You know what you've got? You've got a contrast going on inside your body. I never had it going on until I got saved. You say, what is it? Well, I got this man I look at in the mirror, and he don't want the Bible. He don't want to pray. He don't want to go to church. He don't want to give up his money.
right.
He don't want to help other people.
Yep.
That's that guy.
Yep. That's right.
But then I got another guy. He's saved.
Yep.
He can't get enough of the Bible.
Amen.
He can't get enough of praying, and he can't get enough of church, and he can't get enough of preaching, and he can't get enough of giving, and he can't get enough of helping people. And you know what them two do? Here's what them two do. They fight all the time. And listen, I'm caught in between them. You ever get in between a fight? Huh? When someone's fighting, you ever get between them? Well, you're between them all the time if you're saved. Imagine that. You know, I've tried to break up cat fights. I've tried to break up other fights. Cat fights, that's women, hellcats, you know, going at it. And you step between them and they'll flay you.
Yep.
Amen. I step between dope heads, drunks, amen. Step between different people fighting and going on. That's rough when you step in between two fighting. Guess what? If you're saved, there's an invisible contrast. You know what you live every day of your life since the day you got saved? In the middle of two things fighting. Your flesh warreth against your spirit, and your spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one from the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so, man, your inner man gets up in the morning after he's visited God. He says, glory to God, I get to pray and read the Bible. And then there's this guy, and he says, I don't want to. Why don't we go eat breakfast first? Nope. Why don't we go do this first? Nope. You say, why? He's trying to trick me into taking my time so I don't get to read my Bible and pray. You know what there is? There's an invisible contrast. You know what I tell people? They say, well, I don't have time to come to church. I said, no, you don't want to come to church.
Amen.
I had a guy tell me on the street corner, he says, I cannot afford to tithe. I said, no, you don't want to tithe.
That's right.
I told a guy one time, he says, I can't read, I don't like it, I get sick when I read. I said, you don't want to read, you're lazy.
Yep, amen.
Amen. You know what there is in every one of us? An invisible contrast that we can't see. And you know who the scoundrel is? You know who the enemy is? You. The one we put the underarm deodorant so it don't stink. It still stinks.
Yep.
The one we dress up. Somebody said, oh, I like your suit, Brother Earl. Well, I got one. I like it. I said, yeah, it's amazing what a piece of cloth will do for a corpse. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about seeing the invisible. What is it? There's an invisible contrast. And it's going on every day. Every day. Every day. Well, in Hebrews in chapter 10, you're about done. Hebrews in chapter 10. And the Bible says in verse 25, it says it this way. You know the verse? You should. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what's invisible to most people? I've entitled this one. You know, there's the invisible Christ, the invisible calling, the invisible city, the invisible contrast, and then, hey, there's the invisible coming judgment.
Amen, right.
You know what's coming? Judgment.
Amen, that's right.
I preach on the street and I say, and as it is appointed unto a man once to die, everybody dies. You are going to die. But after this, the judgment. How are you going to fare on the judgment day? And you know what the problem is? There's a coming judgment. And listen, you know what we do as Christians? We've swallowed the hook. We've bought the lie. We keep our eyes on the things of this life. And there's a judgment coming. And you and I are going to stand at it. That's scary. There's a judge. I got it made because I know the judge.
Amen.
By the way, I know the lawyer too. We're friends. I know I'll do okay that way because I know him and I know him, but I'm telling you something. Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, and I'm scared of that coming judgment.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I waste a lot of his time.
Yep.
Not only do I waste a lot of his time, I say a lot of things through his mouth that shouldn't be said. I do a lot of things with his fingers that I shouldn't do. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's an invisible coming judgment. You know what you and I are going to do? Stand before God for our words. Matthew 12:36, for our works. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, for the way we walked. Ephesians 5:15-18, and why we did things. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Motive, you know. Coming judgment. It's coming. You say, when? I hope today.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I'm selfish and I don't like it down here. And neither do you. Right?
Yep.
Well, let me give you another one. In Hebrews in chapter 12, since we're in Hebrews 11, wherefore seeing, okay, what are we going to see now? We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, you see the invisible crowd. You know, I think sometimes we forget that somebody's watching. You know, I think we forget that when we leave our house, there's people that have been watching you that watch you. Huh? I know what it's talking about. It's talking about those saints that went before us in Hebrews in chapter 11 and all that good stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you're saved and you witness it all and you pull out of your driveway on a Sunday for Sunday school and Sunday morning and midweek service, you know what they see? They see you are dressed up and going to church. And so guess what they're going to do? They're going to watch you. And you've got an invisible crowd. And they're watching you. And they're reading you like a book. That Bible says over there in another place, it says, you're our epistle, known and read of all men. You know what that means? They're looking at you and they're listening to you. Invisible crowd. Well, in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what there is? There's the invisible condemnation. You know what I think? I think God's people don't think about hell. You know what hell is to us? Invisible. The condemnation. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation. That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying invisible to our eyes, and yet it's more real than the pews you're sitting on, is the invisible condemnation. You know what I have? Eternal and everlasting life. You know what your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter that's lost and going to hell if they died today, you know what they've got? Eternal and everlasting damnation, yeah, condemnation.
Right.
They are going to fry in the flames of hell for all eternity. And you know what that is? That's invisible to us. But it ought to be real. You know, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, the Bible says. And you know what? If you and I could see through people's skin and see their soul on fire, it would really help us. I'm talking about seeing the invisible. Oh, the invisible what? Condemnation. Why? Because it's coming. You know, if Jesus Christ would come back and answer the prayers of a lot of Christians that are finally praying, even so come, because they're selfish and don't like what's going on. Had nothing to do with the love of God. It's just, it's getting uncomfortable for him. So now they'll finally ask him to come. You know, if Christians would just think about the fact that if the Lord came back today, who's going to hell that you know? And it's invisible to us. We don't even think about hell. There's the invisible condemnation when the Christless burned. Well, Isaiah 53:3-7, there's the invisible Calvary. I think we forget about Calvary. It's invisible to us. You know, in most churches you see a cross somewhere. You know what it represents? Well, to us it's just, oh, isn't that nice? A purple little thing on a cross. Guess what? On Calvary, the cross didn't look like that. That thing had so much blood on it, the wood was saturated with it. It had pieces of skin all over it. Maybe even little fragments of bone. And that cross was bloody. It was bathed in blood. It was soaked in blood. It was saturated in blood.
You say wine for you and for me to stay out of hell. There's the invisible Calvary. And you know what it would be good for us to do every once in a while? I'd say about every day. You say, what's that? Visit it. Get your eyes on it. Why? Because mine eye affecteth mine heart. And you could think about Calvary and what went on for you and me. How about this one? In 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, you've had enough. This will be my last one. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. The Word of God says this in verse 29. But this I say, brethren, talking to the brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. You say, what is he saying? Well, there's an invisible Christ, invisible calling, invisible city, invisible contrast, invisible coming judgment. Hey, there's invisible conquering faith. No one can see that. There's the invisible crowd. There's the invisible condemnation. There's the invisible Calvary. But how about this one? There's the invisible clock. You know what God does have? He's got a clock. And one of these days, it's going to stop. This thing's going to stop. Time as we know it will cease. He's got a clock. You know what every man has? A clock. You know what every man has? Read the book of Job. He's got a time appointed when he's going to die. He is one step from death, as David put it. Amen. You know what there is? There's an invisible clock, and it's ticking. And it's ticking. And this ain't going to wrap up. You know, if Jesus Christ came back today, wouldn't that be good? There's a clock, and it's invisible. And it's ticking. I preach in this one church, and this one church has a great big clock. And it's stuck at the same time. It's 1 minute till midnight. And every time I preach, I'm sitting in that pew, and I'm looking up at that clock. They don't got a cross. They got a clock. Great big clock. And it's got a big time thing, 1 minute till midnight, 1 minute till 12. You know what it says above that thing? Time is short. Then it says underneath it, time is running out. And that old man gets up there and points that bony finger and beseeches them, because he's been in that thing for about 65, 70 years preaching to them people, watching them come and go, burying them, marrying them. And you know what he says? Hey, there's an invisible clock. And it's going to stop ticking. And you're going to die, and you're going to fly. And you're going to meet your maker. And it's invisible. I can look up at that clock and look at it and say, there's a clock. Boy, God's got a clock. And it ticks. And it's invisible to us. You say you ought to wake up every day and figure out what your calling is and do something for God before the clock stops. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Seeing the invisible. Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, he said, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen, they're eternal. Now, what are you looking at? The invisible Christ? You know, he might be invisible, but he's more real than anything. What are you looking at? The invisible calling? You can't even see it, but God's got something for you to do. The invisible city that you're from, you are ambassadors, representatives from that city, and you ought to be lit up like a firefly and grinning from ear to ear. Amen! And you ought to stand out like a sore thumb in the midst of a filthy, sin-sick sewer generation of people that don't want him, that are antichrist. There's that invisible contrast, you fighting against you, and you stuck in the middle. There's the invisible coming judgment. It's coming when you and I are going to stand before God. There's an invisible crowd watching you that you don't even see. There's the invisible condemnation. There's the invisible Calvary that nobody looks at no more. There's the invisible clock. And there's invisible crowns that are going to be given out that you can't see down here. It's invisible to you. But you know what? You know what we need to do? You know what will help you in this life? If you, like Paul, would say over there, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you'd get like David and say, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you'd be like Joshua, who could actually see that captain of the Lord's host standing with his sword drawn. We're just like Balaam, man. We've led astray with the air of Balaam. You say, why? Because we can't see and he couldn't see. We got our eyes on everything but invisible things. Amen. A man of God with his eyes and can't see spiritual things. In his own ass spake. The dumbass that he was riding on could see better than him. Isn't that wild? A lot of dumbasses in this world, aren't there? You know, they can see pretty good. And here we are saved. And we can't see what's important. You know what's going on in this world? Chaos. And you know what God's people are doing? Looking at it. Instead of seeing the invisible. That'll help you, saints.